Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Yeah, we all have a little crazy in us.
Did Lala pull a knife on somebody?
Somebody asked seasons ago. Faith.
She pulled a knife on Faith.
There was like a...
I get it.
It was like a, I think it was like a butter knife at Sir. They were at Sir, and yes. It was like on that little sidebar.
Yeah.
I hate even saying that bitch's name. Not Lala, but the other one.
So yeah.
Let's call her the other one.
Voldemort.
Hello. Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine. With me, Kara Berry. Today we're talking pop culture and later, Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. Usually I record these on Sundays, a little peek behind the curtain, but today I'm recording on a Saturday because tomorrow, aka yesterday, or whenever you're listening to this, I am going to see Ariana close on Broadway. I moved to New York in 2010. Not once have I been to a Broadway show. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's just like one part of pop culture that I just don't care about. Like, I have a lot of feelings about Lin-Manuel Miranda. They're all negative. We don't have to get into it. So, like, Broadway's just really not my thing. However, like, I've seen Chicago the movie. I love West Side Story the movie. Like, I go up for that girl, okay? I love that movie. So I'm very excited. I'll give you a more in-depth review on the Vanderpump episode, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and say that she was, like, really good, and I'm happy for her. So, but anyway, let's get into today's episode. I had to, like, take three things off of the docket because I felt like there was so much to talk about. One of them being Diddy, and here's the reason why I'm going to, like, take this off, because based on the fact that Cassie is cooperating with the authorities, I know that there's going to be much more to talk about later. So, like, spoiler alert, currently he's still fucked, and he's going to continue to be that, you know? And it doesn't seem like his son Christian is any better. He's got some sexual assault charges that seem pretty verified by NBC News. So, you know, uh-oh. We'll move forward to the rest because it's a lot, you guys. If you guys watched Quiet on the Set, the Nickelodeon documentary, I recapped it on my Patreon if you didn't listen. It's at patreon.com/EBBM podcast. But if you didn't listen or you just watched it, they're coming out with a new episode April 7th. They're coming out with at least one more episode. There's going to be an extension. But a lot of the chatter that happened with the first iteration of the series is what happened to Mark Summers. Mark Summers, America's father, practically, host of Double Dare, we were like, why was he only in this for 3 seconds in the whole series? Like, he's a big name. We all know Mark Summers, girl. So he did an interview with the Elvis Duran Show, and he explained that there was like some kind of bait and switch. He got bamboozled into doing the shoot. And once he found out what it really was about, he was like, oh, no, ma'am. Not in a bad way. Don't be upset. What he says later, I felt like it was a little bit taken out of context, something that I very rarely say. What he said was that he was there like before Dan Schneider, doesn't know her, like really, I don't know her. All that took over the Double Dare studio. So there was really no crossover with regard to them. So he thought that this was just going to be like, I guess, a retrospective on the old days of Nickelodeon, not what it turned out to be. And he was like, I don't have anything to contribute to this. And I don't think I really want to be a part of it, which I think would be very fair and probably would be my response as well. So, yeah, that is why Mark was only in that docuseries for 2 seconds. He said, yeah, those people came in and took over our studios. I never met the man. I have no idea. I know Kenan and Kel, but not like even from the Kenan and Kel show. So I don't know her. I don't know anybody, but they try to make it seem like I knew those people when I didn't. To be fair, in the interest of, you know, me being an investigative journalist, ID people, the people who worked on the Quiet on the Set production, did say that they let everybody know what the deal was before signing contracts and all of that. But we'll see. Are we going to be watching? I don't know. I kind of think that maybe, I don't know if like it would be fair to say that left a bad taste in their mouth would have been the takeaway from people, but I think there are a lot of holes and a lot of questions regarding Drake Bell in particular, if you are aware of his history and like his legal issues. You can scoot on over to Wikipedia for that. They're not good. They're not great. They're real bad, actually. They're the worst. So I think a lot of people were like, well, what's going on with that? Like, why are we not being open and honest about that? And kind of making Drake Bell's story, obviously he's a victim, but it also seems like he might be a victim who also like continue to cycle, allegedly. And, you know, how do we discuss that? How do we not discuss that? You know, like, how is that not, you know, how do we just like let that slide? It was very difficult for people, myself included. So I'm curious, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm like that interested. You know what I mean? All right. Next on the list, we're getting back into Vanderpump news. Faith Stowers, who is on seasons 4 and 5, has come back again to sue the girls. And it's not good. By the girls, I mean NBC, Bravo, Evolution Media, who's the production team behind Vanderpump Rules. And yeah, there's a lot going on here. Charges including discrimination, retaliation, enabling a hostile work environment. Her lawyers are Mark Garagos and Brian Friedman, I'm not sure. But there are the ones, I will say, who are behind, you know, the Bethany, Reality Reckoning, the Rachel lawsuits. Those are the same dudes. I'm just saying. So she filed this lawsuit on April 5th, right? And in the suit, she says she wanted to speak out prior to the Black Lives Matter movement, when the last time all this stuff kind of came up and there was that round of firings with Kristen and Stassi and Jax and Brittany and then eventually Max and Brett and Dana and the other one. Not all of those are racist. We're going to leave Dana out of that, but really all the rest of you. Uh-oh. So she goes on to say that she wanted to speak up prior to that, but she was made to feel by NBC that she would be threatened. She was threatened with legal action, allegedly. So in those court documents, she says that she was subjected to racism, sexual harassment, physical assault, and that she was calling out Lala, about an argument and a physical altercation in which Lala held a knife to Faith's neck and threatened to cut a bitch. Now, there have had sources talk to people, and as we know, thanks to the school of Rob Minkoff, that often sources don't go to people unless they're pretty close to or that person speaking directly to people. So sources said that this is like completely Cappington, no basis in any of these allegations, and then like try to like throw some shade and be like, well, she's got a podcast coming out that she, you know, has got to promote, which is, you know, another ironic thing that Lala has said this week. And also that she's going to be doing a movie with Randall Emmett. Now, I do have to side eye that final part, Faith, because at this point, even Lala excluded, like, why would you want to work with him? That being said, Lauren, interesting that you say that this is not true, because one thing about the internet is that it keeps receipts. When this lawsuit dropped, I'm like, I know, I remember two things in my mind, in this addled mind of mine, when this shit popped off, like the first time and then when it came up again, that they had used Bitch Bible to let the chopper spray on all these allegations, and I mean Stassi and Kristen in particular, about all these people's bad behavior. They were gleeful. Gleeful to talk about all the ways in which they were trying to get Faith arrested or somehow punished because she fucked Jax. You know, which is a punishment in and of itself. Y'all would know, most of all. So, they had said that they had, there was a woman in West Hollywood, an African-American woman, who had gone around, I guess had a reputation for hanging out with dudes when they passed out, like, you know, spending the night with them, taking their ATM cards, stealing their money, stealing whatever. This was like a girl that was going out West Hollywood doing this. And they had released security cam footage of her at an ATM. And Kristen and Stassi decided, oh, we know a black girl. We don't like her. So let's just say that she kind of looks like her, because there was a dude named Logan, not Ariana's Logan. I'm not sure who he's friends with. I think he's friends with Lala currently. He was on the last episode of Vanderpump, actually, when they pulled up to the beach. That Logan had a jacket that was stolen, and in the ATM footage, that girl was wearing like a similar style jacket. But what even they showed at the time, his jacket, and like you can see in this grainy footage that that's not his jacket, clearly. But anyway, they go on to make claims like Jax tweeted in 2017 that Faith, who was a military member at the time, had gone AWOL, and, you know, those are deleted tweets, that she had been wanted for the police for Grand Theft Auto, that they had been actively, Kristen and Stassi had been trying to call the police, or did call the police, to try to actually get her pinned on these crimes. Kristen posted a picture of that woman on her Twitter in 2018 and said, hey Tweeties, doesn't this x hashtag pump rolls thief look familiar? Someone put her on MTV and gave her a platform for press. I didn't want to go there, but I'm going there. And then what else happened? Oh, Stassi went on this Bitch Bible podcast and basically exposed you, Lala, and said that in fact there was an instance that happened on camera in which Lala put a knife to Faith. And they're like, really? They're like, oh yeah, that definitely happened. I mean, you just heard it in the intro. Uh-oh. So that was the one thing that I definitely remembered. And the other thing that I remembered was that they had said, Lala, Faith, I guess, at a time was crashing with Lala. And she would say, she was telling the girls that she would try to hide things in her apartment to see if Faith would steal them. So, there are also more allegations in the lawsuit. Brittany, it's your turn, that you, I guess, so upset that she fucked your man, or I don't know, maybe it was just a Tuesday with you, Brittany, hard to tell, that she was, like, hurling racial slurs at Faith, saying that she had nappy hair, things of that nature, allegedly. In terms of suing, or, like, why she's suing NBC and Bravo and Evolution specifically, she says that at one point, she developed feelings for Lala, and they were going on a cast trip, and they basically forced her to share a bed with her for the trip, forced them to, like, do salacious kind of sexual things with each other in a pool, and, yeah, things like that. Now, I want to make clear that I believe Faith, and, I mean, the receipts are all there of these people saying these things, so how am I not supposed to believe her? You know? The only thing that, like, just makes me, like, oh, is, one, the Randall thing. Two, the working with Brian Freeman and Mark Aragos. It's not, again, because I completely believe her. It's just that we have to, like, really consider who we associate ourselves with and know that, like, not everybody's your friend. You know, not everybody's got your best interests. I know that this is probably, like, pro bono and you're, like, you know, and maybe it's there's a greater good. And I hope that you get, like, the outcome that you want and deserve. But I think, like, just because we've seen how much of a flop the Reality Reckoning has been, and it's just, like, hasn't really worked in the way that, like, we had been led to believe. And this is all kind of very weird to say in this instance because of these topics, that I think it just kind of makes it seem like a circus. And the thing is that I want the best for Faith, and I want her to get what she deserves. I just hope these people actually have her best interest in mind, and they're not just, like, hopping on somebody who actually has a story to tell and, like, you know, taking advantage of that. That's my wish. Moving on to, I think this is, like, a, lesson in maybe I should be careful in what I wish for. Y'all know that I've been complaining for years about the celebrity breakup divorce announcement, the standard ever since the conscious uncoupling of Gwyneth and Chris Martin. We love each other. We're remaining the best of friends. Like, things just didn't work out, but we're going to be great co-parents and we're going to be in each other's lives. And, like, we love each other so much. And it's like, no, you don't, because you wouldn't be getting divorced. You know, like, all y'all have the most amount of love that could ever be possible between two humans, but none of y'all can make it work. Make that make sense. So when Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher, a couple who've been together for quite some time, like, they don't really move my needle, but I know that they do for a lot of people. And they have been, like, you know, a 14-year is pretty long term, Hollywood relationship marriage, right? When they announced that they had filed for divorce back in last year, like December of last year, as it found out, I was like, oh, okay, like, that's pretty sad. And then I'm seeing this picture of them in matching white tennis outfits, and Isla Fisher had posted a photo of this, posted this on her Instagram stories. And in that, there's a long caption that says, "After a long tennis match lasting over 20 years, we're finally putting our rackets down. In 2023, we jointly filed to end our marriage. We've always prioritized our privacy and have been quietly working through this change. We forever share in our devotion and love for our children. We sincerely appreciate you respecting our family's wish for privacy." Now, clearly, like, that message is the one that I had been complaining about. The thing is, the picture. I first saw it and I was like, oh, somebody posted this, like, as a joke. Like, I thought, honestly, like, some hilarious gay, like, Yolanda Fister had posted this. And I was like, oh, wow, that's funny. Maybe they had been in, like, a tennis movie together. Like, and then I Googled, I'm like, they haven't? I thought maybe they had met on the set of a movie. I'm like, no, they just met at a party. I don't know if this is a Halloween cut. Why, out of all of the pictures of 14 years of marriage, would you not only post this picture of you guys? Neither of you guys play tennis. I mean, not professionally. Maybe recreationally. Is this, like, a thing? It seemed, everybody seemed confused, so I don't even know that this is, like, a thing between all of us? Or is this, like, an inside joke between you two that you've let us in now at the end of your relationship? "After a long tennis match lasting over 20 years, we're finally putting down our rackets." What? I just, like, I'm dying to know what went into that? Was this like Isla's? Did she text it over to Sasha for approval? Was anybody in PR get an eye, even half an eye on this? It's not like bad. Like, I'm not mad about it. I'm just so confused. Like, what? Why? Why this picture? Like, surely there are nice pictures of you. They could even be like fun ones. I don't even know if this is fun, because like, honestly, in this picture it looks like a still from a movie in which you two kill people. Like, you're like a couple who murders people. So I was confused. I honestly thought it was from a movie, and it's not. What does the tennis have to do with anything? So I say all this to say, like, this is an improvement. If you're going to end it with, like, bullshit, start it with nothing that makes any sense whatsoever. This I can rock with. I like it, I think. I'm so confused. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of weird breakups, I'm telling you guys, I don't care if you have never, ever considered giving one fuck about Tori Spelling. Run to her podcast, Miss Spelling, in which she calls her now ex-husband to tell him that she filed for divorce. This is the greatest podcast I've ever heard in my life. I truly believe that I've contributed to this somehow in the universe. Every podcast that is ever created in space and time was made for this moment, in which Tori Spelling did this podcast, this episode specifically. It is such a peek into, I'm speechless. Like, it's so strange into like a celebrity and the brain rot, I think, that happens. Y'all know how I feel about Tori Spelling. Like, I have very strong feelings about her for somebody who have, like, I've watched, like, one of her shows. And I mean, like, one of her reality shows, not 90210 or anything. Like, so I, wow. It's like, where do I even, like, it literally begins with her, like, hyping herself up to call that man from Chopped Canada to tell him, and he's at work, by the way. He is at work. She's like, I'm so sorry. I think she texts him, or like, she leaves a voicemail. The kids are fine. Just, if you could give me a call back, I would really appreciate it, right? So she says, like, oh, you know, he's at work too. Like, she's like, he's on set. This is such bad timing. And she's got what seems like a host of friends or hangers-on in the studio with her. I don't know if one of these women that we hear is supposed to be a co-host or a producer or something, or honestly, just like a person who's there. I honestly think Tori lives in a world where, here's what I've been saying. Tori Spelling is a hairless cat in an alley. Like, she is so tender and gentle. Like, she was meant to be a rich girl who is clueless about the world and just has everybody do everything for her. And like, that's just her life. It's not fair. It's just how it is. She's living off daddy's money and, you know, whatever. America, right? But that didn't happen. Like, Candy fucked it over. So now she's in the alley with the rest of us. And it's just not making sense. Like, nothing in her life is good. It's like Shannon Medore, but like on steroids. It is so wild. So to listen to her, and the way that she views herself, the way she views her role in Hollywood, the way, I'm just going to say this, it's going to sound so mean, but this really has really rocked me to my core. There's a moment where she's talking to whoever is in the studio about how hard her life has been because, in Hollywood particularly, because she's been known as a bombshell, a sex symbol, just like a hot blonde babe with big boobs. And then she talks about how she was telling her friend this, her male friend, by the way, how this is how she's perceived in Hollywood. And she tells us with no sense of irony whatsoever that her friend was like, I'm sorry, do you think that this is how people view you? And Tori's like, yeah. And she didn't even get that her friend was trying to gently tell her, like, Tori, that's not what we think. So anyway, if you need to like knock out a good like, it's less than an hour, 45 minutes, 50 minutes or something, to like just listen to somebody go on and on about the horrific love story, if you could even call it is, that is her relationship with Dean, and the way she has like no concept of the fact that like, she talks about the things that he was complaining about in the marriage and like her role in things, but she still, again, doesn't seem to understand that. I'm like, I'm hearing it. I'm like, these seem like legitimate complaints, Tori. Like, you just leave dog shit everywhere in the house and like, you're gross. Like, it's giving. Like, I wouldn't want to be married to this either. Like, you sound really gross. But she talks about it as though it's like, oh yeah, look at this guy, you know? Like, can you believe him? Like, it's wild. It's wild. Anyway, it's called Misspelling. It came out on March 31st. Again, I'm like, is this a joke? Has this whole relationship been meta? And then I had to talk myself down and be like, no, I think this is like how she really is. I just don't know people like this in real life. You know what I mean? Like, it is, it's everything to me. At one point, she completely fishes for a compliment with her friend. And then after her friend gives her the compliment, she's like, I was fishing for a compliment. Like, I totally just did that. Okay, well, listen to it. Don't turn off this podcast, but like, listen to it after, you know? Okay, we're moving on. What else do we want to talk about? Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, our girl. This is not even a girl. This is not even a girl of the week. This is like we got to get into the prayer closet, okay? Fall on your knees, saints. We're getting into Lydia Plath's prayer closet for Aoki Lee Simmons. I was trying to enjoy my Friday evening, what was left of it. And then I'm kicking on down to page 6. I'm like, huh? Oh. Oh, Lord, not Aoki Lee. Sweet baby Jesus, not Aoki Lee. Why is she 21 years old, Harvard graduate, youngest daughter of Kimora Lee and Russell Simmons. Why is she kissing up on this 65-year-old man? They're on a beach in St. Bart's. His name is Vittorio Asaf. On a beach, she's in a little teeny-weeny, itsy-bitsy bikini. He's got that, you know, retiree body. You know the one. You know how men get with it. You know, it's like a certain kind of body type when they just get like, I don't even know what happens, but he's there in his little trunks, taking pictures of her posing on the beach. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? What the fuck is going on? Vittorio Asaf is, if you live in New York, he is the owner of Serafina. Serafina, if y'all don't, is like, what do I say? It's like Upper East Side. Like, I would think it would be like where, I think it actually was on Real Housewives of New York. Dorinda said that she and Ramona would take their daughters there, like for brunch. Like, that's the kind of place, like Upper East Side, rich, you know, kind of oldish money, like having a place to brunch. That's the vibe. Most of the locations are in New York, but I do think it's like around the world. So this man's got money, right? But he's like a New York guy. Like, food scene. I don't know how old Serafina is, but like, it's an establishment. Like, and there are locations all over the city, right? So he owns that. And that was the first thing that made me be like, owner of Serafina. That's interesting. Probably a man about town if he's willing to publicly, you know, be seen with a 21-year-old, and that probably would have happened, you know, like 20 years ago. So, like, let's make a note of that. Let's put a pin in that, Kara. And I did. I put a pin in it. Okay? So then, I was, like, just trying to sit in the prayer closet and really, like, unpack all of my very complicated feelings, because we know, like, Kimora and Russell have like a 2018, more than 15, I believe, year age gap. And that has been sort of a thing. Like, her mama, Kimora, has been Listen, she associates herself with very well-heeled gentlemen. Let's just say that. And I don't think she's apologetic or quiet about it. I think that's very clear, right? Like, she marries well. And that's just what she prefers, okay? And God bless her. God bless her. So the thing that really started darking me out, I mean, on top of just seeing her kiss this man multiple times and then pose for him. Ooh, sweet cherry baby. That she goes on Instagram Live. Now, this is now that article at this point of her going on Instagram Live has been on the front page of Page Six, like the headline, bold ass. She's in the bikini. You cannot miss it if you're going to page6.com. Picture for hours now. It has been hours. She's been trending. People have been like memeing. We've all been having a real weird conversation and a kiki, but also like, let's be real and sensitive, but also like, haha, what? You know, that's been happening for a good minute now. Why does this girl go on Instagram Live? Because you know, she knows this. There's no way she does not know that she has been on Page Six for hours now. Goes on Instagram Live. Her comments are now flooded with, girl, what the hell's going on? And she's acting like, what do you mean? What's going on? Like, you're asking me what's going on? I'm wondering what's going on. She's saying, oh, I'm just at the beach with my homegirls, like my friends. Like, no, like she has no idea, allegedly, what we're talking about. Now, baby girl, I know you probably think that we're all old, but we are not so old, most of us. People who post up on Facebook, I can't say. But the rest of us know that AI technology is not that great. And so the likelihood that these HQ photos of you kissing up on this old man are somehow not associated with the pictures of you that you just posted on Instagram in the same bikini, that there wouldn't be a connection between that. Do you think that we made this up? And that was like ping number 3 or 4 for me. I stopped counting. Okay, it doesn't matter. Here's what I'm thinking. This girl's very young. Obviously, this whole situation is extremely dark-sided. Okay? I do not blame her at all. But something about Vittorio being a wealthy man in New York makes me think that there might be a connection with the parents. Okay? And that perhaps this might be a tactical move on someone's part. And I also want to make it clear that if perhaps someone might be doing this to piss off one or more of someone's parents, I would not be in judgment of this person, okay? The other thing to this is, you know, even though her mom is, like, very obviously with these well-heeled gentlemen, she's also been, like, fairly discreet until she gets a ring on it, you know? Like, she keeps it cute until she locks it down. This is not discreet, like, at all. And I find it really hard to believe, like, these are wealthy people in St. Barts. They're probably on a wealthy people beach, a.k.a. private. These pictures aren't that far. This isn't like people in the ocean trying to take pictures of Princess Diana. Like, this is like, we're going to be far enough to make it look far, but not so far that we can't get these, like, high-quality photos. It doesn't look like anybody else is on the beach. Also, it's just, like, the two of them, and she's posing for him like a sweet cherry baby. I don't know why I keep saying this, but that's just, like, that's just what evoked in my mind. And it just feels like, again, like, maybe somebody's trying to make one of their parents mad, because this does not make sense to me. Everything about this girl leading up to this is led us to believe that she's been very sensical and level-headed despite the mess that's going on. So this really just isn't adding up to me. So I'm saying I'm not judging if she's doing this on somebody. If somebody's doing this on purpose, I'm just wondering, I'm thinking that this might be what it is. Now, since then, both her parents have posted these sort of odd, maybe we can say that this is them responding to it. Russell posted a picture of them from Father's Day and was like, I'll always have my daughter's back. And then Kimora posted a video of a panda with a baby in its mouth. And it was, honestly, I'm not really sure. It was a little too deep for me. But I'm going to keep an eye on this because, I mean, nothing in the milk is clean about this, but like on many levels. So I honestly think I might be onto something. Speaking of fucked up family dynamics, I've been keeping a watch on Tish Cyrus and what's going on with her. So apparently her and her husband are in couples therapy. Gee, I wonder why. If you guys don't remember, I told y'all a few weeks ago that apparently Tish was took Noah's man. Let me just clarify this. Noah was allegedly having a friends with benefits, let's fuck relationship with a 54-year-old Dominic Purcell. Or maybe this is a few years ago. So he was like 50 at the time and maybe she was like 19 or whatever, right? So they were fucking. Tish starts getting eyes on this man and they start dating and now they're married. Apparently, they're now like in a tailspin because all of this came out. Even Miley didn't know. She found out the same time as the rest of us, apparently. And so, yeah, this is not a good situation. Also, Tish, like, I'm a Astro girly as well. But when your relationship is, like, already weird, I would maybe not be like, oh, our relationship's difficult because I'm a Taurus and he's an Aquarius. No, your relationship's difficult because he fucked your daughter. And I don't mean to be crude, but let's be real here, babe. You know, the stars aren't going to tell you that, but I'm going to. We got to move on to our headline of the week. End on something light. Before we get into Martha's Vineyard, it goes to Entertainment Tonight's Anthony Dominic. Thank you so much for this exclusive. And I mean this. It sounds like sarcastic, but I mean this. It really made me giggle. Real Housewives of New Jersey star Melissa Gorga thought 4.8 earthquake was ghost, called 911, and in parentheses, exclusive. The RHONJ star speaks to ET about the estimated 4.8 magnitude earthquake that rocked the Northeast Friday morning. And then she goes on to say, there were like mad earthquakes, y'all. There was like a big one, it was like 10, 20, and then later in the afternoon, it was wild. But, Melissa, like, I think the epicenter was in Jersey, and then it hit. I mean, how could you have possibly not heard about this? I'm not going to bore you with the details, but Melissa said she was in her gym, that she was in the house alone. She was in the gym in the basement. Things start shaking and quaking. She gets a notification that the door was open, the front door was open, and she's thinking, how the hell did that happen? And then she's, like, going upstairs, downstairs. At one point, she's calling 911, trying to call 911. Hits 911. I think before she calls, thank God, her husband calls her. Like, well, girl, what the hell's going on? And then she finally realizes that it's an earthquake and not a ghost. Like, how do we go from intruder to ghost, ma'am? I'm actually excited for the Real Housewives of New Jersey to come back. They're coming back in about a month. I think May 5th. Are they coming back Cinco de Mayo? I think so. But I'm excited for their return only because I saw the cast picture dropped a couple days ago. And not only were Teresa and Melissa on the very ends on either side, who had center tomato, center meatball? Our girl, Dolores. It's so great to see a Black woman have and be centered in the Real Housewives of New Jersey. I shout out to Black Dolores. Shout out to Wendy Williams for referring to Dolores, who is not at all Black, as Black Dolores. But is she? But like, is she? I don't know. We gotta think. We gotta look back. I'm looking forward to it. I think now that we're seemingly not going to address the fact that Melissa and Teresa fucking hate each other and this is never going to work, then we might actually get somewhere, and I'm excited about that. So, yeah. Anyway, with that, you guys, let's talk about Martha's Vineyard.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
How does everyone feel about Phil coming as Shanice and Bria's guest to the house?
He shouldn't.
But what if he were to apologize to every single person?
Phil took it upon himself to take a in Nick's toilet and leave it there for him to flush.
Flush the toilet, bro.
You didn't flush it.
And then disrespect Preston, call out Alex, and then he wanted to go toe-to-toe with me.
Sit your little ass down real
Bring
quick.
Bring your over here then. Bring your over here and see what a little ass can do to your big ass.
I don't owe him
but he's not the only one that feel that way.
You're not the only one that feel that way.
He gives me a lot of vibes that I think are very off-putting and unhealthy.
With Martha's Vineyard. So last we left off last week, Nick had gone into the room with Summer and Jordan while they were napping to be like, do you guys think that I make you uncomfortable? And Jordan says, you do get handsy. And Summer says that, right? And so he's like, okay, but is it inappropriate? And they're like, well, mostly it's when you're drunk, right? In a confessional, Nick seems a little bit annoyed because he says, you know, these were my friends. Why wouldn't they have told me? Like, almost like it's on them to be honest with him, which, you know, like, this is obviously a very complicated situation. Like, there are a ton of reasons why a woman could be your very good friend and then also be uncomfortable by the way you treat her and also not really know how to navigate that, you know? And so, fortunately, he does kind of turn it around and say, you know, even though my intent was not bad, everybody is entitled to how they feel. So they just tell him, like, you know, maybe just be a little bit more aware. You're not a creep, though. You're not a peeping Tom. But then they ask Jordan in a confessional, if Nick was your boyfriend, would you feel some type of way if he was acting the way Nick was? And she says, yeah, absolutely. It's not like he's out here cheating or anything, but there are these subtleties to what he's doing that is giving, like, he's acting like a man who does not want a girlfriend, right? So then Nick goes downstairs and he tells everybody, like, well, you had the conversation, it went well, it just came down to, like, you know, I get a little drunk, you know, maybe I get a little bit close, and Preston says, yeah, you know, next time, maybe just keep it a little, couple inches back, maybe a few feet, you know? Then we have the scene with Shanice and her mom, and it was perfect. It was perfect. It told me everything I needed to know about Shanice. Like, everything, had you been like, make up a story, like Shanice's origin story or who you think her mother is, I would have been like, oh yeah, it is Carla. Carla with a K, with her short white woman haircut. You know she means business. This is not a Karen. It's a Carla. She's tough. She loves her daughter. And she will let you know that, okay? She's like a soccer mom, you know, like a bulldog when it comes to her kids, right? So she's on the phone with her mom, and she's like, oh, you know, me and my mom are so close. We're besties. I tell her everything, right? And so she's telling them, I'm hosting a neon, like a bikini beach, not beach, but, you know, like a bathing suit kind of fun day at the house, but it's raining outside. And then she tells her that, you know, last night, Summer, we were playing this game, and the question came up of, like, who's worst dressed, and Summer said, me. And Carla says, does she feel like you're her competition or something? And Shanice goes, well, look at me. And then she starts twerking in the phone, just looking at herself. While her mom is, like, popping off, right? Oh, why don't you tell her, hey, you want to act like you're 14? Well, your opinion doesn't count anyways, bitch. She ain't no goddamn fashion designer. Maybe she dresses bad. So Shanice tells her mom, Summer knew my job situation. Like, so I feel like her saying that I'm worst dressed is a jab. And Carla says, it is. you know? And we really need to be supporting each other instead of doing that. And then she tells Shanice to move on. But then she also says, had it been me, I would have knocked the shit out of her. So more on that. Bring Carla into the summer house. Let her be here instead of Phil. I would like to see it. So while everybody is getting ready, like they're just like milling about the house, you know, talking, dressing, whatever. They make sure to notice that we see that Jasmine has a wine glass in her hand, but they point and say that it's apple juice. Downstairs, Noelle's starting to get a little bit flirty with Alex because now she's feeling like, okay, Summer doesn't really want this man. I'm going to make my move, right? She's starting off because they're both wearing neon orange. She's like, oh, you chose my color. Like, no, you chose my color, blah, 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 whatever, right? Hallelujah. We get, you know, 30 seconds of Alex liking a woman. He says in a confessional that Noelle is bright and bubbly. And as of now, he's not terrified of her. So thank God. So they're going outside. The weather gets better. They're partying. And Shanice is like, you know, now that I don't have a job, my days are pretty empty. I just go to the gym and come back home and watch TV. So naked Shanice comes out and she's flipping and sliding down that flip and slide. And they're like, okay, great. Shanice is back. Brita says in a confessional, I actually love naked Shanice. I just didn't love that naked Shanice was naked around my man, but he's not here right now, so I love it. So then it starts raining again, a little too hard, especially a little too hard for Jasmine's edges, because she gives us the black girl math in her confessional and says, my hair is a combination of my hair and someone else's hair. So if you add the rain to that, that's like an hour and a half tomorrow where I'm going to have to fix it. So I don't want to do that. So she decides to play. They're doing like an obstacle course thing, but she's got this like full bath towel on her head while she's going down the slip and slide. And part of it is like you go down the slip and slide, you're supposed to do a flip cup thing, take the drink, and then run back, right? But obviously Jasmine doesn't want to do that. So she just like flittles with the cups and then runs back. She's like, girl, you didn't do anything. You didn't take a drink, girl. But she just like, you know, just keep it pushing, right? While they're playing this like really nice car pulls up. So Shanice goes back inside. It's her friends. Mind you, they're doing this like competition thing and Shanice had her team. It's like Team Shanice versus Team Amir. And then Shanice just leaves in the middle of it, doesn't really say anything. Her friends are at the door, named Hendrix and his friend Christian. She tells us, I don't hook up with Hendrix. He's already slept with one of my friends. Like, that's a no-go, right? So, like I said, because Shanice just dipped in the middle of the competition, Amir's team wins. And he acts like, oh, I want to thank my mom for this. And he says in a confessional, you guys, there is an I in team. And then he says, T-I-E-A-M. Isn't that how you spell it? Amir? Either you're joking or you're not. Which one is it? I'm nervous to know the answer to that, you know? Because how? Because for that to be true, he would have been going his whole life thinking that the phrase is, there is an I in team. And also, I don't think he thinks that. I think he was joking. I'm choosing to believe for my own mental health that he was joking. So Hendrix comes to the pool and everybody, all the ladies are like, whoa, you kind of look like Bad Bunny. We like that. And he's like, yeah, I got that for four. So the first person he makes eyes at is Noelle because she's a true green-eyed bandit, right? He's like, I love your eyes. She's like, yeah, you know, God gave me a little situation. He said, you know, you can have the pretty eyes, but you have to wear glasses. And I told him that's fine, right? So Noelle's getting like a little bit more flirty. They're doing this, like they're sharing a cupcake. And by that, I mean, they're putting a cupcake in between them and just like biting down at the same time, right? So Alex is watching this and he's squirming. And that's all I need to know, that whatever thought he possibly had about Noelle is now over, right? They keep trying to make scenes where like Noelle is talking to Alex and Summer is just like interrupting them by walking in to look for her phone or whatever. I really honestly don't think that Summer gives a shit about Alex. Like, honestly. They also were back to Jasmine's beverage check. She's drinking tea. It's like 11 o'clock, right? Everybody else is taking shots. So after everybody goes inside, they're like, do we know where Milo is? And then they cut to poor Milo sitting by the pool in the rain by himself, just waiting for somebody to come and open the fence to let him out. Poor for him, bless him. The next morning, the guys are like on it. They're outside, they're cleaning up. Nick's outside in a crop top, ready to go for a run. Like, this is not the Hamptons, okay? This is not, we're waking up to whatever remnants of Tostitos that Kyle didn't manage to eat before he went to bed. And, you know, Danielle's cracking open a morning beer and just avoiding it all, you know? Things are a little different in Martha's Vineyard. So Jordan goes to talk to Shanice about Summer. And Jordan says to her, you know, I actually had to cuss her out in front of my building last summer because she was doing the most with my bartender friend. And so she tells the story in a confessional about how she was, like, going home with her friend. It was, like, her friend, Summer, and this friend, they had just come from the club, and their friend was coming back, right? So they start hooking up in front of the building, Summer and this dude. And it's, like, hot and heavy. Because the producer says, well, were they just making out? And she was like, It was a lot. The door people could see. And she says, it's hard enough being a black woman in, you know, whatever neighborhood in Manhattan they bleeped out. She's like, I don't want the judgment along with it. So she tells Shanice, you just gotta go to Summer and nip things in the bud. So after that, some of the house goes to go grocery shopping. It's like Nick, Noelle, Amir, and Noelle's telling them, like, Alex and I are having, like, little bits of moments with each other, but I'm not really sure what he's feeling. Preston and Amir tell her, Alex is pretty private, but Amir tells her, oh, he said that you're cute, and, you know, like, he was kind of looking to see if things might go beyond just, like, that initial spark, right? Noelle says in a confessional that she's only had one relationship since moving to New York, but the dude, I guess, was from Atlanta and told her in passing, oh, I can't wait to go back to Atlanta to get to all my hoes, and she was like, excuse me? So she broke up with him. So Noelle tells them, like, I'm just worried about Summer's feelings for Alex, and Preston's like, girl, I really don't think she cares, like, Noelle says, but I do. And Preston was like, y'all could be sharing dick stories. Like, make the best out of the situation, right? Be like, how good was he? That's what I'd be doing, frankly. Back at the house, Jasmine's talking to Summer and Jordan. And is like, do you guys have people that you want to come to the house? And they're like, yeah, we do. Which is wild. These people need to be in the house longer. Because 15 days, I'm going to need Bravo to be writing them checks big enough for Shanice to not be in the closet crying about how she can't afford clothes, and for them to not be like, oh, we have, 11 days left, we have all this list of people that we want to come to the house, maybe, maybe not. Then Jasmine tells her, and them, that I would like Mariah to come back. We had a really good conversation. Jasmine says in the confessional that this is the first time she and Mariah had a real issue in their friendship, and it took her having to basically blow up Mariah's phone and be like, hey girl, I'm showing up. I need you to meet me halfway, which seems to be a theme in Jasmine's life. Is it seems like she messes up the relationships, and then she is constantly being like, hey, can you be my friend again? Which is not quite an apology, given what happened with Mariah, with, like, the weird shit with Bria and the laundry and the dog hair or whatever. And then Jasmine being like, girl, we gotta let you leave because you're making it too hot for in here. Like, you basically embarrass your homegirl on national television. And then you're like, well, I need you to meet me halfway. I'm like, well, did you apologize? Because you just being like, I'm still here is not really... But whatever, that's y'all's problem. So then Summer says, well, Phil's coming on the island too. Not necessarily to be in the house, but, like, he's kicking it somewhere else, right? Jordan says, immediately no. He does not need to come to this house. And Summer says, well, I do think he might be coming to visit. Now Jasmine says, I don't think we trust Phil to be around other people. And Jordan says, I don't trust Phil with anything except for getting on my nerves. So Jasmine says, listen, I do feel like while everybody deserves a second chance, this needs to be a house conversation. So, when Noelle comes back from the grocery store, she is, like, doing this really cute thing, deciding to surprise Alex with a vegan sandwich for him. She's like, oh, I got it for you. So he opens it up, and he's like, well, I'm not really big on tofu, but it is the thought that counts. To be fair, it did look like he ate it. It did look like he did eat it, or at least he took a bite. But Jordan and Summer are both like, Like, the way he did that was cringe. And Summer says, you see why I want you to have him? And you could tell even Noelle was like, okay, well, that didn't really work. Like, he just kind of treated her like your friend's little sister who's got, like, an innocent crush on you, right? Like, you don't want to be rude, but you also have to be like, okay, there's really not, this is not going anywhere, you know? But, like, thank you, respectfully, you know? Oh, I feel for her. Somehow Jasmine got a microphone. I don't know. Silas probably packed it for her. Well, no, that's not true. We know Silas didn't do that. But she says, I just want to have one house meeting. And they're like, oh, Lord, here's the spirit of Silas coming out. Here we go again. Not anybody wants to have a house meeting. They even make Milo sit in a confessional, be like, ugh, or whatever the dog sigh sounds like. So Jasmine says, you know, some of us were talking earlier, and I think we need to talk about the guests because we have a lot of events coming up at the house, and there are two specific people I wanted to talk about. So how does everybody feel about Phil coming as Shanice and Bria's guest? And Amir says, no. And Shanice is like, okay, well, what if Phil apologized to everybody? Amir breaks it down perfectly. He took a shit in Nick's toilet. He disrespected Preston and Alex, and he tried to fight me. So I don't owe him shit. Noelle's hearing all of this information and is like, huh? What? In the toilet? What's going on? What is going on here? So he says, I don't owe him shit. And Alex is like, yeah, you're not the only one who feels that way. Preston says, Phil, his vibes are off. Like, there's something very off-putting about him. He makes me very uncomfortable. Absolutely no. My feelings are not going to be changing on this. So Alex says in a confessional, I appreciate Preston for speaking up because the way Phil came in the house, it wasn't unfortunate. It was toxic. And so we need to be able to, like, be free to be you and me, to be ourselves in this house. So I'm really confused as to why Bria and Shanice want him here, why they don't understand why everybody's upset. So then Amir, he's got his full dossier against Phil. He says, he reminds Shanice, when you called him the next day, he was still like, fuck everybody in this house. And they're like, well, he was still drunk then. But then Jordan was like, wait a minute, he damn near got into a physical altercation with me. And Alex says, you're going to see a different Alex if he comes here. And that was like the most aggressive that Alex has gotten. And I appreciated it. At least he was being honest. Does Alex still annoy me, you ask? I think the answer might be yes. More on that later. So Shanice says, okay, well, I'm not going to argue with you guys. But Bria's like, no, I mean, he just wanted to say if he could have a good time at the house and just leave. Like, y'all are acting like he committed murder. Y'all are acting like he wanted to be up in those four bunk beds with y'all. Like, that's not it. Then Bria says, you know, he didn't physically assault anybody. Maybe he did with his words, but, like, Bria, we gotta maybe work this out. We can't be caping for men like this. Not the way he acted. Like, personally, I can't imagine, like, having a conversation, thinking that I'm friends with somebody, inviting them into a home that I'm staying in. They shit in the toilet and refuse to flush, and then almost gets into a physical altercation with multiple people in the house because he simply will not flush the toilet. Like, I would never speak to him again. That's fucking weird. So then Jasmine raises the topic of Mariah, and all the guys were like, yeah, we'd be fine with that. But Bria takes Milo and was like, I don't want to talk. Y'all are always already getting on my nerves. Bria says in a confessional, nobody cares about them getting into it. And Jasmine says, fine. So Amir says, as far as me, I'm just not going to do laundry that weekend. We'll leave it at that. So then Bria and Shanice go outside to call Phil. And they were like, oh, well, one person in particular was upset. And that was Preston. And Phil says, no grown-ass man can be that upset. Ugh. Blech. Meanwhile, Preston is very upset. He's talking to Amir at the grill saying, these are the times where I'm really frustrated. This really, like, pissed me off for him. These are the times where I'm really frustrated being the only gay person in the house because I feel like I get upset and people don't really have a concept of as to why. And I've been in those situations where I'm like, I can't look around. And we have this community in some regard, but, like, not in this very personal way for me. And I'm feeling very trapped and alone. And I felt for Preston a lot. And he says in a confessional that He says, maybe Phil called him soft, and that's all he meant. It was just like, whatever. But obviously, it was very triggering to him, because he's been in situations where it wasn't just that. Something tells me that Phil may have said something worse than that, but even if he didn't, like, I totally understand what Preston's saying, and I am frustrated that, like, no, I mean, even though Alex was like, I appreciate Preston's for speaking up, and, like, we should be able to feel safe, I do almost feel like there should have been somebody else speaking up for Preston so that he didn't have to do that, or, like, he didn't have to go so hard to advocate for himself, because it seemed like at least a few of people, like, understood what he may have been talking about. Moving on, though, we go back to this phone call with Bria and Phil, and they find out through Phil, because apparently Mariah and Phil are quite close and they talk, that Mariah was planning on coming to the house anyway. Jasmine already bought her an airplane ticket, and that basically Bria's now upset. She's like, well, I feel like this whole house meeting was just lip service, and you were trying to, like, trick us into saying, okay, so then you could be like, okay, well, I invited Mariah, when you already knew she was coming. Amir kills me, because as they're getting ready for dinner, they're in that bunk room, Amir and Alex, and Amir starts air humping and lifting his shirt up, and he goes, who am I? And then you see a flashback to Simon dancing last summer, and it was pretty damn accurate. In the other bathroom, however, Jordan's very upset. She's crying, trying to put on her wig, and Summer comes in to talk to her, and she's basically like, I am frustrated because of my hair. And Summer says, well, why don't you just stay home? She's like, I don't want to stay home, but I also don't want to have a bad attitude when I go out too. And she tells her, I'm just, like, feeling very frustrated. My hair is worse than ever. I used to wear wigs before, but that was when it was an option. Now I, like, have to wear them, and it's frustrating. And so someone's like, you know, I'm really sorry this is happening. I love you, you know, etc. So Preston, before they're getting ready, he tells Alex he's wearing a Gordon Gartrell shirt, which is like, these are the black moments that I'm not going to explain to you guys. It's like, just if you know, you know, and if you do know, you love it. That's so funny. Alex tells everybody, once they get to the dinner, like, it's on me, don't worry, I got it, right? They call him a four-figure daddy later. Bria, Shanice, and Noelle do a quick prayer. They're all holding hands, and Noelle's normal, like, you know, God is great, God is good, let us thank it for our food. Bria is like, I just want to pray to keep my attitude in check. And Shanice goes, and I want to pray that my vagina stays inside my dress tonight. And they're like, amen to that, Shanice, amen. Once they're at dinner, Shanice tells everybody that she may have gotten a UTI from the slip and slide, but they're like, you're actually really great at throwing a party. And Shanice is like, yeah, you know, the thing about my parties, even though I've never done one before, this is my first one, is that we don't have to have all these heavy conversations, like, pure fun, right? So Bria's like, cool, yeah. Quick question, Jasmine. Was it premeditated to have Mariah in the house? And Jasmine says, no. And so Bria says, but was there a ticket booked? And Jasmine goes, probably. And so Bria goes, when was the ticket booked, Jasmine? She goes, probably last night. The screenshots prove right up there. It was 5 days before this conversation. So Jasmine says, well, y'all know how things work. Like, if you guys said no, the ticket could have been canceled. So then it comes up that Bria had this conversation with Phil earlier. So now Jasmine knows that she got caught, right? It's seeming like they were planning on having her come to the house the whole time. And then the wires get crossed, because it seems like Bria thinks that Phil was also coming to the house, even though that's her friend, so she would have known that wasn't true. So Jordan hears the possibility of Phil coming back to the house is on the table. She's like, no, 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 no. So then they have to clarify to her, like, no, 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 he won't be at the house, but he is on Martha's Vineyard. So if they pop up somewhere, like, just know, moving forward, it's not because we invited them. We just might see them, right? So Jordan then takes up for Bria and says, listen, nobody took Bria's feelings into consideration before you bought Mariah's ticket. And Jasmine says, well, that's fair, but to me, it was an economic choice. Jordan says in a confessional, you know, do I really feel that deeply about the situation? No, but it's the principle of the fact that, like, Bria was not taken into consideration. Summer tries to defend Jasmine and is like, well, I think she was trying to do the right thing by having the meeting. And everybody's like, no, Summer, you don't get it. She's like, okay, my bad. Just forget I said anything. So then they make the point again that had Phil just walked into the house, like, everybody would have been very upset. So the fact that they didn't care about Bria is, like, pretty messed up. So Jasmine tells Bria, like, I don't want you to feel like you were set up. But Bria tells her it was shady, right? And Jasmine says, well, I see Sunny, but okay. Jasmine then says in a confessional that she basically kicked Mariah out for the comfort of one person. And she did what she had to do by buying her ticket. Now, it seems to me like Jasmine is trying to fix her relationship with Mariah. And is kind of like, Bria, just get over it so I can fix this. Like, she's not taking Bria into consideration, but not in the way that Bria is thinking. Like, I think this is more about Jasmine fixing her relationship with Mariah and less about not caring about Bria's feelings.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Especially because we have to remember that Mariah, I think, was, like, also maybe not working and, like, was a single mother and was like, girl, I did a lot to make this happen and now you're kicking me out on day two or whatever. So I think this is about her trying to fix some shit. Amir stirs up his own drama by asking Summer, hey, do you want to confront Shanice right now? Do you want me to just be like, hey, Shanice, Summer has something to say to you? And Summer's like, yeah, do it. So Shanice, Amir's like, hey, Summer has a problem with you, Shanice. Do you guys want to talk about it? And now Shanice is like, right now? In front of everybody? Like, my brain is kind of fried already. I'm not used to having so many conversations. But she tells her, again, Summer, you know I lost my job. You know I didn't have the funds to get new clothes. And I also feel like there's always been this tension between us. I also have trust issues, which is why I have a therapist. But the statement stands. So Summer says, listen, girl, like, she basically says, she doesn't really take it back, but she tells her, you look good, like, you have the best body at this table. And Noelle is like, hey. People start laughing, and then this weird side fight happens between Jordan and Summer for laughing. I don't know. So Shanice tells Summer, thanks for the apology, but, like, maybe just don't put your friends down. Bria is not engaged at all. She's completely disengaged. The camera shows that she's texting her mom, I'm ready to go home now. So in the middle of this conversation, like in the middle of somebody talking, she's like, okay, my car's here, bye. Preston says in a confessional, Bria walks out so much, I hope the next time she walks out is back to New York or to Germany. So Jordan and Shanice and Noelle, there's like a club. They're eating outside, but there's a club that they can go to, like a little bar. So they're going to go dance, and people are still at the table. And Summer asks Preston, do you feel like I was wrong on how I talked to Jordan? Preston tells her, you do raise your voice to people. And she says, well, Jordan does too. And he's like, yeah, of course. You're not wrong about that. And Summer says, I just feel like people always call me out for yelling, but Jordan gets away with it. But when it happens to me, like, I'm wrong. And she starts crying and is like, why can't we just go through this process with love? Love it. Preston says in a confessional, Jordan and Summer both have a tendency to turn up. And he hopes that they can resolve it. And also he hopes that when they do resolve it, he's not in the middle of that. And that was a hope that he put in the wishing well a little too late, unfortunately, for Preston. We didn't get it. It was too late for that one. So they're all going to the club, right? Alex is chatting up some random ladies at the bar. Noelle peeps it. And she goes into the bathroom. She's talking to Jasmine. Ugh, this was like giving me the hills. Like the hills where they would go to the bathroom with Ledoux and like talk about Justin Bobby or like, you know, Jason fucking up or whatever, right? I love this. So we just are looking at the door. And Noelle's like talking to Jasmine like, I know I don't have a right to feel the type of way. And Jasmine goes, yes, you do. Jasmine, don't tell her that. Because she really doesn't. She really doesn't. Shanice tells her, you just need to watch how Alex treats women. Because he's a fuckboy. Like, just keep your eyes open, girl. Back at the house, Bria's home. She and Milo are tucked into bed. And she's talking to her mom on the phone. Like, I don't know what to do with this whole Mariah situation, because there are things that I know that Jasmine has no clue about, so like I don't know how to handle this. It's a little foreshadowing for later. So back to the club, the girls are sitting at this little table outside, and they all get up because Alex comes out so he and Noelle can have this one-on-one conversation. And she says to him, I think you're an attractive person and you're cool, but like you don't even know that I have interest in you, right? Did you know that? And so Alex immediately, like, you could see the light go out of his eyes, like, the color was leaving his face. He goes, I think you did share that with me a little bit. I'm enjoying just getting to know you as a new person in the group. And that's about the, like, lowest thing. You can't even say I'm getting to know you as a friend. No, I'm getting to know you as a factor of many other people. Yikes. So Noelle says, my toxic trait is that sometimes I can be territorial, but the other night, yesterday, I was acting very single, you know, with, what's his name? Hendrix, Bad Bunny. And, you know, you can move freely, but I would like, you know, take me into consideration if you would like to think of me as somebody who has interests. And so Alex says, well, I think you're a really cool girl, but you know, I've been through a lot where people make expectations of me. And then he says in a confessional that he had just gotten out of some situation where things were moving too fast. And so now he wants to renegotiate his relationships and he wants to move slow now. Alex, how much slower can you possibly move? Like, it's fine if you're not interested in Noelle. But, like, every time... How is it that every relationship you're in is like, you're ready, and then the girl does something, like she looks at you for too long in the eye, or she takes a singular picture of you, and you're freaked the fuck out, and you want to take things slower. This just seems to be like a pattern with him, where some woman, again, does something that he feels is like too far, and he's got to be like, whoa, 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 pump the brakes. But why are you pumping the brakes with somebody else when your situation was with another woman? You know what I mean? Like, these are just excuses. I'm like, what is really going on with Alex? Because he says, I don't think he actually wants to be in a relationship. I think he wants to, like, have these moments with women where they're, like, vibing. And they're, like, going to art shows, and he's doing spoken word with them, at them, frankly, and that's it. And then he's able to, like, move on to another woman and have these, like, shallow, picturesque moments with them under the darkness, the cover, the cloak of privacy. I want to be out publicly with women, but I don't want them to address that or acknowledge that, and God help them. I'm going to pump the brakes. I'm going to break up with you and then also use you as a reason for why I can't get closer to the next woman. I'm telling you that he saw Noelle share a cupcake with Bad Bunny in that pool, and that was it. He got freaked out and was like, I'm not even going to do this. I'm not, like, he's, it's just weird to me. It's just weird. So now poor Noelle's like, okay, cool. Feeling a little bit embarrassed. And he's like, don't. And then he high-fives her. That's like the equivalent of Schwartz calling Joe Joseph, of Luke calling Hannah Burn Dog. She's telling you that she's embarrassed that you just turned her down, and you high-five her. Oh, girl. Just let it go. Noelle says in a confessional, I was very naive. And this could come off as, like, very weird and presumptuous, but she brings up a very good point of, like, Amir and the other people were leading her to believe that, like, he is this shy, private guy, but no, he's actually interested in you, which is why she got the battery in her back in the first place to kind of, like, throw it out there, right? So I get it. But then Alex is going back into the bar telling Amir, oh, I felt ambushed. You know, it was like she already decided that I was her man. She explicitly told you, I have a tendency to feel territorial. However, I was very much acting single, and you have that right too. I know that I don't have the right to say that to you. So you didn't hear that. You just heard, I'm interested in you, and she, in your mind, you're like, and then that's it. So after this, everybody drives back to the house, and Jordan is in the back row. And she's, like, sitting next to Preston. Summer's in the row ahead of her, and then there's, like, the driver in the passenger seat, right? So Jordan says in the car that me and Summer, we need to have a talk. Now, mind you, they're, like, parked outside of the house. So Summer opens the car door because are you guys going to have this conversation with everybody else in the car just sitting there because they can't get out? Directly outside of the house. So Jordan kind of snaps at her and was like acting like she was leaving. And Jordan and Summer's like, I just want to get some air, right? Jordan's like, there you go again. I don't understand what's going on. Summer says, you're attacking me. And then she tells Preston, say something. Preston, say something. So Preston's prayer was not answered. He said, please don't let me be in the middle of this. And he's quite literally, physically, in the middle of them arguing, trying to figure this out. They're just screaming. Like, I don't know what's going on. So Preston has to be like, I don't think you guys are hearing each other right now, because they're not. Summer gets out, and then she says, I'm going to say something to you and then walk away. But then it's just screaming, so I don't really know what's said. And Summer slams the car door closed, and we end up on a to be continued. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what happens. I'm loving the show, you guys. I'm really loving the show. I'm loving it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Y'all want to check out the new merch? It is up in the link in the episode description. Patreon is at patreon.com/EBBM podcast. It's going to look like I don't update. I do every week. I promise the streets will tell you. It happens every week. Last week we talked, I don't even remember, Quiet On Set? Something. I don't know. But it's there every week. Just rest assured. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk soon. Love you. Bye.